次は、ヨシュア？
The title of this year is a wonderful title. Halavai, it would only come true. Making a success of the davening on Rosh Hashanah. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Can you imagine? In Shemayim they say, success, hakslocha, a wonderful year of bracha and simcha for all of Klal Yisrael. Say amen. What a beautiful thought. You know, success in the davening, that we manage to achieve what we have to achieve. How a beautiful thought. I must mention before we begin, many of these points you might have heard before in previous shiurim, but I put them all together. There are some chidushim here and there. But if you hear something which you heard before, maybe it will be a chazara for you. I hope it will help you in the davening. The idea is to give you about five or six main points, which I hope will help you be successful in your davening Rosh Hashanah. Let's start with a maimer of the Alter von Kelm. The Alter once explained, it's in a maimer in Chochma Musa, what is the difference between a tzaddik and a rosha? Said the Alter, one thing, the koyach hatzil, the vivid imagination. A rosha says whatever he wants to say, goes wherever he wants to go, does what it looks whatever he wants to do. There's no consequences. There's no tomorrow. He's not concerned. He has no imagination that maybe if I say this, there'll be consequences. Maybe if I eat this, I shouldn't eat this. Maybe in 120 years' time, maybe I'll have to give a cheshbon of why I did this. There's no imagination. There's no thought later. Like they say, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, and tomorrow we die. Who cares what happens? That's a rosha. There's no imagination. There's no koyach hatzil. A tzaddik, says the Alter, lives with the moment, but also lives with the future. He imagines, if I say this, maybe the consequences, both in Olam HaZeh and Olam HaBo, might be different. He imagines Gan Eden. He imagines the Kisei HaKovod. He imagines all the different things. Imagines Va'aleinu Gehinnom. He sees ahead, and therefore he's careful. I have to be careful what I say. I have to be careful what I eat. I have to be careful with my children, the consequences, the imagination. I don't know, we use our imagination for so many ridiculous things, you know, we dream and fantasize with all sorts of things. But there's one time in the year when you really must conjure up a vivid imagination. And that is when you walk into shul on Rosh Hashanah for the following reason. Normally when you walk into shul, everything is apparently normal. The rabbi is sitting at the front, the men are downstairs, the women are upstairs, and everybody has their seat, and people are swaying and davening, and people are saying their prayers. When you walk in on Rosh Hashanah, you must think of something else. You must imagine you walked into a court of law. And it's that straight. I mean, Hayom haras olam, Hayom ma'amid b'mishpat, kol yitzurei olam. It's a court of law. And you must imagine the following. In front of the Aron Kodesh are two tables. On the right-hand side are all the good things that you said, that you did, the mitzvahs, the ma'asim tovim. It's all recorded. And the dossiers are complete. On the left-hand side, unfortunately, are those things which maybe we shouldn't have been said, which we shouldn't have done, and those are the avails. And it's all there. Not as if I remember when I was studying law, I remember there was something in tax law called tax evasion and tax avoidance. Tax evasion was against the law. You evade tax. Tax avoidance was okay. You know, as you put your money here, and you can avoid paying tax. But by Borei Olam, there's no such thing as avoidance. There's no such thing as legitimate. Everything is ato yodeh kol ma'aseh me'odam, ato zoicheh es kol yitzurei olam, ein shikcha lifnei kisei kavaydecha. Everything, as we know, is brought into account. And therefore, you need a very vivid imagination to realize that. This is Yom Hadin, and you walk in with that concept in mind. The imagination carries you through as you come into the prayers, as you carry on. We know that there are three main areas of defense in front of the prosecution. And that is tshuva, tefillah, and stocker, ma'avir, and esroya ha'gzeilim. There are three areas. Tshuva, which is changing a little bit, we spoke about that. Tefillah, which we'll talk about today, and stocker, ma'aser stocker. They all have the ability, if we can say such a thing, I hope it doesn't sound too simplistic, but you can actually move him over from kisei hadin to kisei harachamim. You can actually move him over. It's possible. Zachainu l'chaim, melech ofetz b'chaim. Ovinu malkeinu, kosveinu l'chaim. It means that instead of writing me on the book on the left. Write me on the book on the right. Write me for good health. Write me for panosa. In other words, one can shift the din to rachamim, and each one of these units of tshuva, tfila, and tzedakah goes an enormous way. Ma'avirin es wa hagzeira, and that's the way it works. I remember in economics when we used to do, there was a principle which we had to learn called the marginal utility theory. And in business, I think it means something like that. But the businessman, before he invests $100, must make sure that the yield is $200 or something. There must be a yield. Every unit which he invests must bring a profit. It's the same here. Every unit of tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah, whatever it is, it's mameini heishmei rabo, it's keeping your mouth closed when you shouldn't, it's not looking at something. Every single aspect, every unit has a yield during these times. Yushua Hashem v'motza, these are the days, ani l'doidi v'doidi li. Remember here we want to share. What does it mean? We take pisuli pesach, kapesach kamachat. It must be a piercing opening, even the eye of the needle, something. He comes and leaps in front of me. He leaps towards me. The slightest move which I make, he comes towards me. And every unit that we use in this particular share, we're talking about tefillah, every minute of tefillah makes an enormous difference. And that's what we're trying to do. That's the koyach atzir which you must have. You must have that imagination before you open the matzah, before you even walk into shul. I walked into a court of law, and I'm going to do the very best I can. I'm going to ma'oire, if I can, rachamim through my prayers, which we'll see how you work in a moment, how it works. But that's the avoda of Rosh Hashanah. The worst thing of all, I suppose, is that you can turn the whole day into, as they say in Israel, a tekes, a ceremony. It becomes, you know, I stand there, I sing along with the songs, I listen to the shofar, I pray and sway a little bit with my prayers, but there's no imagination. You need to put yourself into this framework of an imagination and use your imagination to come in front of Borei Olam, and it's Yom Adin, and Malachim Yechofezum, V'chilu Oda Yechofezum. It's an awesome day, a day which begins the year, which begins the judgment for each one of us. It shouldn't be a tekkes. You need imagination. That's the first point I want to bring out. The first is the imagination which is needed. I think I lost you. I'm sorry.
We're still here.
We can still see you, Rabbi. Oops.
Sorry for the show. Let's carry on. So let's move on. So the first point is the imagination. Let's look at the Gemara, which we brought down last week, and we have a reference there as to what is the nature of the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says on each Yom Tov we bring something. Pesach we bring the Omer, and in Mitzvah Hashem gives us a bracha of the Tzvuah on the Sodeh. On Shavuos we bring the Shtei HaLechem, and because of that we have the bracha on the Bikurim. And on Sukkot we bring the water, and because of that we have a winter of rain. And then the Gemara says, "Ve'imu lefonai Malchus." And on Rosh Hashanah, say in front of me, Malchus, "Kedei shetamni chuni aleichem, make me into your king." Zichroinois sheyalu zichroneichem lefonai betoiva. I'll remember you for good. And the two. All of the coronation is the shofar. The korban on Pesach is the omer. The korban on Shavuos are the two loaves of bread. But what do I bring? The answer is me. I bring me with my prayer. The korban is
on the screen. I can... Okay.
Okay.
I'm carrying on.
You've got to turn the computer off.
Rabbi Alperin, please turn off your computer. I think
you're
on both lines. You're on the phone and on the computer, and so you're getting a lot of
feedback. It's a loop. You get a loop.
Turn off the computer and only use the telephone. Is your computer on?
Now. Hello?
Yes. Okay.
So can you hear me now? Now. I can carry on.
Yes. Go ahead and carry on.
Okay. Let's hope for Hatzlocha. Okay. I'm carrying on from now. So the question is, what do you bring? The answer is you bring yourself. The Koyach of Tefillah, you talk, and that is the highest level, the most sophisticated level of Koyach that you have, the ability to speak. And that's where you need an imagination to realize that this dibur that you have, the koyach of speech, which is the prayer, goes right in front of the Kisei HaKovod. Rabbi Saul Salant writes in Or Yisrael, on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol goes lifnai v'lifnim. He goes all the way in. He goes into the Kodesh Kodoshim. He goes once a year into this very holy place. And he takes the prayers and prayers for Klal Yisrael. Says Rabbi Yisrael, on Rosh Hashanah, we all go in. Everyone goes right in through the koyach of the shofar. The shofar takes all our prayers all the way in. And that, you must imagine that. It's as if your prayers are going straight in. Actually, in Halach, in Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah brings down, that's one of the reasons why we face Mizrach. One of the reasons we face is a person should imagine that as he davens, he's standing in front of the Kodesh Kodoshim, and he's standing there, and his prayers are going right in front of the Oroin. And that's what happens on on Rosh Hashanah. Our prayers are taken all the way into the Kisei HaKovod, like the Kohen Gadol goes in on Yom Kippur. If that's the case, then a person begins, no wonder, to tremble and to think, what on earth? Mi ani umo ani? Mo chayenu mechasteinu matzikoseinu? How can I possibly achieve anything if I have such a responsibility on Rosh Hashanah? What can I hope to achieve and do in front of the Kodesh Kodashim on Rosh Hashanah? How do I bring myself? In reality, that's probably a wonderful thought. The Abu Dram says, why is it that all the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah always begin with the word uvachein? Uvachein tzadikim, uvachein tein pachtucho. What does uvachein mean? Says the Abu Dram, it's a reference to Esther. Do you remember when Esther was told by Mordechai to go in? And Esther said, uvachein ovoy el hamelech. If that's the case, even so, nevertheless, whatever, even though I'm not suitable, I'll walk in front of the king. Actually, in reality, we know that every time he says the word melech in the Megillah, it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's what happens on Rosh Hashanah. Uvachein ovoy el hamelech. Uvachein is the submission, is the humility. And that is one of the prerequisites of davening on Rosh Hashanah. The imagination, you must imagine my nothingness, my submission in front of the Melech Malchei Hamlochim. There's a beautiful expression which is given by the Chovos HaVovos, and he says like this in Shah Cheshbon HaNefesh. If you want to look it up, it's in Chelek Gimel, Perit Yud Ches. Says the Chovos HaVovos, Eineni mispale lefonecha biglal sha'ani choshev atzmi ro'oi lekach. I do not stand and pray in front of you because I consider myself worthy to be here. Ela heviuni lidei kach. They brought me to this. Chazal told me to stand here and daven in front of you. Bameshet sivisoni hitpalel. They told me I should daven. Ulekach bosi la'asos v'tzoynecha. And therefore I'm standing here in this position. I'm standing here waiting to talk to you. That is the primary stance, the most optimum position you can be in on Rosh Hashanah, to come in with this humility, this uvachein. And that's what you need to start. You bring in your prayer, but you're not walking in like someone with full of confidence. No, a person doesn't have much confidence walking into a court of law and the books are open and the right and the left and you see everything in front of you. There is there should be a trembling. There should be a charoda for Yom Adin when you come in on Rosh Hashanah. And that hachno is a tremendous plea for clemency. It's a tremendous plea for rachamim. I remember I once brought previously a beautiful moshel from Moshe Aaron Stern, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who was the mashgiach in Kamenitz. I think I heard him say it himself. He gave a moshel, what does it feel like walking in on Rosh Hashanah to Daven? The two brothers, one rich and one poor. And every time the poor brother ran out of money, he ran into his rich brother and round the corner and asked him, please, can you help me out a bit more? Eventually he reached the point he couldn't go in anymore. He was just too embarrassed. He turned around and said to his wife, enough, I can't do this. She said, you have no choice. You must go in. He said, I can't anymore. It's too embarrassing. Every time I have to go around and ask my brother, I can't do anything myself. She said to him, and if you don't, you'll have nothing to eat. You'll see. And she was right. There was nothing to eat. So without any joy at all, he made his way round the corner to his brother on the long drive and walked down the drive. And he was trembling and he thought, here I am again. I have to come and ask my brother every time I have to do this. It's so embarrassing for me. He stood at the door and took a while before he could actually press the bell. And he stood there and he heard his brother walking down the hall, opening the front door. The brother opened the front door. That feeling of the poor brother is exactly the way we're supposed to feel on Rosh Hashanah. It's me again. I've come to ask again. Once again, I'm asking for rachamim, if you can help me out. I came last year and I'm coming again. This feeling of hachno'o, of uvachein, is a crucial aspect of the avodah of Rosh Hashanah. You come in and you feel, it's me again, I'm asking you again. That feeling of that poor brother looking at his other brother is exactly the way we should feel. And that's, it's almost in some ways, it's a dilemma. I can't talk, but I must talk. I must talk to you. It's interesting, the Ramchal, the Mesilas Yesharim, says, if you look in Perek Yud Tes, he explains, that's the reason why we begin the tefillahs always with Hashem Sefosai Tiftach Ufi Yagi Tehilosecho. Says the Ramchal, there are three phrases here. Hashem, meaning Da'lifnei Mi'ata Oimed, be aware of who you are standing in front of. Sefosai Tiftach, I can't even open my mouth. I'm so embarrassed to talk to you. Ufi Yagi Tehilosecho, but I must talk to you. If I don't talk to you, then what am I going to do? Just stand here, read a magazine, or just sit in shul? I must talk to you. That dilemma, that feeling I can't talk but I must talk, is exactly the way one should feel. That's why every Shemayin Esrei begins with, Sefosai Tiftach, Ufi Yagid, I can't open, but I must open my mouth. That's a wonderful, wonderful paradox. That dilemma is exactly the way you should feel. And that's the opening theme, maybe, of when you come in and daven on Rosh Hashanah. You're coming in front of a court of law, and you're coming to speak and plead for yourself and all your needs, and your needs of Klal Yisrael. But I suppose we must give a little bit of big background information behind the prayer to understand exactly what does it mean, the nusach of the prayer that we say. And we have Eshkenaz, and we have Sfad, we have different nuschos. Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. Don't ask that they have this masoret, we have this masoret, however we do it and however we say it, with all the nigunim that we have. You have to understand what the power of this nusach is that we have when we say Hamelech, and we say Mechal Kechayim Bechesed, and we say Uvechein Tein Pachtecha. Where does it all come from? It comes from 120 of the greatest sages in their time, the Anshei Knesset HaGdoilo. They were the most eminent Talmidei Chachomim of all. Some of them even had Nevuah, Malachi, Chagai, Mordechai was there as well. These Anshei Knesset HaGdoilo, they sat and composed a text after the Beis HaMikdash, which would enable us to make a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this text in Hebrew is Kodesh Kodoshim. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Kuf Aleph goes into great detail in the Bi'ah Halacha why it's so important to daven in Hebrew, to say these words. A person can daven in English, but it's not the same. Davening in Hebrew is a language which Hashem used to create the world. It's a language which Hashem used to speak to the Nevi'im. And this is the language which is used in order to stand in front of and pray in front of Hashem. And the Chofetz Chaim explains that the Anshei Knesset HaGdoilo, the men of the Great Assembly, discussed and debated almost every letter, every nuance, every word, every phrase that you say. Everything is put together by them. And that nusach is literally Kodesh Kodoshim, Tavorim Sha'im Diburum Shel Olam. They're very, very powerful words. These words get through. And therefore, you must keep very carefully to the nusach. and make sure you understand. We'll come onto it in a minute, but the nusach is very powerful. These words get through. I once gave a silly moshul. It's a silly moshul, but you'll get the point straight away. Supposing a person wants to send a message to the moon, so he takes the biggest elastic band he can and makes a catapult, and he puts the message on the catapult and then flips it up, and how far does it get? I don't know, maybe 20 feet, maybe 30 feet, doesn't get very far. If he had sense, he'd make a trip to Cape Kennedy, put the message on a rocket, which is going directly to the moon, it'll arrive there. That, Rabbi Yisai, is the difference between any other words and the words of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. They get there, they arrive, they are unique in their ability to reach the point where they have to get to. And that's why we should always daven in Hebrew, and the words of the Chofetz Chaim are, even though we don't really understand the power behind all these words, those words arrive, and they're very powerful words which we must use. And that's why keep the nusach. I remember I used to daven for years when I was in Hanof next to Rav Kreisworth, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He was super careful. I used to listen and watch him. He would only point to every single word. The nusach in tefillah is primary. That's the way you get through. And these are the words which count. And therefore, it's not just the prayer which we say, and not just the humility that we say, it's recognizing what these words are. Say them in Hebrew, and put as much as you can into the effort that you say them. I remember, I think I once mentioned previously, there's a maimah of Rabbi Rucham Lebovitz. Rabbi Rucham explains that in some ways, prayer is even more powerful than korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. For example, supposing a person is in a skyscraper in Japan, or he's in a cellar in Chicago, you can daven. You can daven wherever you want. If you can't bring a korban, you can only bring a korban Yerushalayim. If you don't have a kohen, you can't have a korban. You can daven wherever you are. You can't bring a korban, says Rabbi Wilhelm, if you've done amazing, you did something willfully. You can't daven like that. A korban can only be bought for a shegeg. There are certain qualities which prayer has which are even greater than korbanos. Avada, when we have the Beis HaMikdash, we'll have korbanos. But you must realize what's behind these words. They're very, very elevated words. Dvarim beruma shel oilam. I think there's a maimer of the Alta from Kelm. He says, beruma shel odom. Odom is an oilam akotten. Man is a microscope, a microscopic element of the whole world itself. Beruma shel odom. The highest words you'll ever say are these words. And therefore one should take great care over the nusach hatfilah. The next point which I wanted to bring out, I thought, since the Avodah is mainly Avodah of Tefillah, I go into much greater detail in my Sefer, in the Bridge Call Prayer, about Kavona in Tefillah, if you want to have a look there. But I've taken out 5 points, which really should be at the top of the list when it comes to having Kavona in prayer, in order to find success in the davening. Here's the first one. The first halacha in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Tzadik Ches, is the meaning of Kavona. Kavona is Peirush Hamilos Shemoitzi Bisfosov. To understand the words that you say, you can't daven, you'll say it's obvious. How can you daven without it? Yeah, but sometimes even the obvious has to be spelled out. You must understand the words that you're saying. I would like to go a little stage further and say that it's really inadequate, if you'll excuse me, to daven and then translate the words as you daven. That's not called daven, that's called translating. Lanias Daiti, I think you should prepare it beforehand. You can't come and daven and say, oh, what does this word mean? And then I translate it. It's a little late. Avada, many of these translations are wonderful, but the linear translations are excellent. But really one should have been prepared before, because it might turn out that the davening becomes translating instead of actually davening. Therefore, one should prepare the translation before and spend time so that you know the Peirush Hamilos. To understand the words is the first halach in Kavona. One must have understanding of what the words are. And actually, the Shulchan Aruch brings down there, the Neviach Chofetz Chaim brings down, right at the beginning of Hilchus Kavona in Shulchan Aruch, he explains that there was a great Talmid Chacham, he says, the Rash, I don't know who he means, the Rash, but he learned all the Sodos of the Arizal, and then when it came to Davon, he Davon like a little child of a three-year-old, just saying the words, Moida, Nilafot, just saying the words like a simple child. In the back of your mind, you might have all the great kavanas, but when it comes to actually expressing the words in prayer, you must know the Peirush Hamilos, what the words mean. That's the first point. The second point, which really affects all prayer, but especially on Rosh Hashanah, is finding a pace which is good for you. Daven at a good speed, which you can work with. It's totally discretionary. It's up to you how fast or how slow you go. But use phrases. It's sometimes harder to daven if you take each word or you daven many words in one go. For example, Mechal kel chayim b'chesed, Mechayei meisim, b'rachamim rabim. Then, what happens, the recital turns more into conversation than just a recital. It becomes an expression, like a discussion you're having. You'll say, Moedim anachnu loch. These are phrases, B'sim lo echato Hashem levadecha. Try and make phrases. If you use commas, it's a tremendous help. And you'll find you'll get your way through. I think one of the biggest yetzahoras on Rosh Hashanah, sometimes in the davening, is, I must take a long time. Who says you must take a long time? It's not necessarily true. For myself, I know if I take too long, I sometimes space out and I start daydreaming. Time is completely discretionary. Focus is the essence. They can bring down a miser which is brought down in the Gemara. I brought it many times. It's such a beautiful story. The Gemara in Brochus Daf Lamed Beis brings down a story about Rabbi Elezer HaGadol, the great Rabbi Elezer, who was a Tana and he had a yeshiva. And he davened with his yeshiva every morning. And one day, says the Gemara, a bocher went down to be the chazan and he was supersonic. He flew through the davening. Mamash, as fast as can be. And they all said, Rebbe, Rebbe, how can we daven? He's too fast, this chazan. Never have him again. And Rebbe Elezer turned around everything and says, really? Was it so fast as if you say the words, Kael, no, refor, no, lo? Was it as fast as that when Moshe davened for Miriam? He said, no, no. So Rebbe Elezer, what's he complaining about? What's so terrible? No, okay. A bit fast. Next day, someone went down to be a chazan and he was mamash a snail. He was so slow, no one could daven at that pace. Rebbe, Rebbe, they said, how can we daven with such a person? Rebbe Elezer must have had a wonderful sense of humor. Turned round to them and said, really? Tell me, did it take 40 days and 40 nights? Moshe Rabbeinu by the eagle took 40 days and 40 nights to daven. No. So Rebbe says, so what are you complaining about? What was he teaching them here? It's a beautiful lesson. On one occasion, Moshe Rabbeinu said 5 words and it was all over. On another occasion, he davened for 40 days. What perhaps is the lesson here? Perhaps the lesson is, it's not the timing, it's the focus which is crucial. And don't be dismayed or upset maybe if you're one of the first people to finish. So long as you concentrated, so long as you had a focus, that was the main thing. I remember I davened for many years in Gateshead Yeshiva, and if I can say such a thing, I remember that there was Yeshiva of Leib Gurwitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, I think was one of the first to finish. I remember I davened with Rav Eliashib often in his shul there in Meir Shoyim. He didn't take long. These people were very focused. Not necessarily. Don't be dismayed if you take too far, if it goes too fast. If you want to take your time, you want to take a half an hour, gesunter hate. But that's not the primary issue. And therefore the pace and your own discretion is much more important. That's the second point. The third point, which is a point in halacha, which not necessarily halacha, but I think an eitzah in kavana, is to be articulate, to be coherent, and to be eloquent. To say the words clearly, to express them with deliberance, to say them with a passion, to say the words, it's almost like a lifetime guarantee by me. If you ever have problems in kavana, open your mouth very wide. You'll see, it always works. You can't daven the whole, you might get lockjaw, I suppose, if you carry on davening like that. But try and open your mouth very wide. You'll see, and don't worry about other people. Other people are davening as well. People might think you've gone a bit peculiar, but don't worry about that. The important thing is open your mouth, and it works for you. It pushes you to concentrate. And when you do that, you'll be back in line again. But the words must be said with a passion. The words must be said with desire. You're pleading for your life here. You're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please give me and Klal Yisrael Chaim. We should end this pandemic. We should all be well and strong. We should have Hatzlocha and Shiduchim, and people who are sick should be well. We're asking. Ask with a passion. That's how you ask. You're pleading for Klal Yisrael today. It's a great, great day. And that's the nature behind it. I once thought of a moshul. I wrote it in my sefer if you want to have a look. But it's a moshul which I think maybe work. What's the difference between a professional wine connoisseur and an amateur? What's the difference? An amateur in wine, who has no idea about wine. He takes the wine and he gulps it down, he throws it down, and they ask him, how was it? Yeah, very nice, I'll have another glass, please. It could be very expensive wine. Yeah, he just gulps it down. He could have just as well drunk lemonade or a pint of beer. He throws it down. He has no real sense of value of what he's really drinking. What about a professional? Now, a professional connoisseur of wine, first of all, will look at the color. Then maybe he'll smell it, and maybe he'll swirl it around in the glass, and he'll look at it again and see how full it is. And then very, very slowly, maybe he'll take a little sip and swirl the wine around in his mouth and taste it. And then maybe a minute or two perhaps, he'll swallow it. He'll get the full nachas out of the wine. And if he's good, if he's really good, he might be able to tell you where it comes from, when it was bottled. And he has tremendous pleasure from the wine as it goes through his mouth. He sees all that there is inside the wine. It's a vintage, and he can tell it. The amateur has no sense whatsoever of a vintage, nothing at all. It's a liquid, it's wet, and that's all. I remember once I was in America over Shabbos, and a balabos gave me to drink some wine. He said, here, try this wine. So he gave it to me, and he said, what do you think of it? So I said, it's very nice. He said, well, you know, this wine cost me a few hundred dollars. I said, well, no more. Don't give it to me. I have no appreciation for wine. Don't give it to me. It's wasted on me. I felt really, for me to appreciate, I don't have an appreciation for wine. I'm not like that. But that's the difference. Rabbeisai, what does it mean, an amateur in prayer? He has no value of the words. He has no idea of the vintage. He can't smell them. He can't taste them. They don't mean really much to him. He just gobbles them off and says them off and rattles them off. But professional in a prayer, he savors the words, no? He carefully thinks about them. He lets them go through into his neshama, first of all, and then his lev. And carefully they go through the mind, what the words mean, and slowly, slowly they come out of the mouth. The taste lingers on his tongue. It's still there. And it's a unique occasion of dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a unique occasion. It's a tremendous delight. It's a spiritual delight. The professional wine connoisseur has a delightful taste on it. So does the professional in prayer, has a lingering taste on his mouth throughout the whole day, because the words mean so much to you. If you say them with care and with eloquence, and you say the words, U'b'chein tein pachtocha Hashem Anokeinu, V'yeda kol pa'u ki'atofi al-tay, and you say them with meaning, and you say them with care, it will help you tremendously in Kavanah. The next point, the fourth point, the first is the meaning of the words, the second is the pace, the third is to be articulate, the fourth is maybe a trick which you might need to know, which I hope will help you, and that is that what happens if you find yourself daydreaming in the middle of davening, and if, maybe when people, your mind slips, and you start thinking of something else, you start thinking what I'm having for lunch, or you wonder about how your wife is doing, or your husband is doing, or whatever, you think of other things, and you suddenly turn around and you say, oh my goodness, I just passed through Malchus, and I miss Malchus. You don't go back. What do? If you panic never happens. You turn around and say, well, it just goes to prove I can't daven properly. That doesn't help. And turn around and say, it doesn't matter. It does matter. What do you do from now on? The only thing you can do is to snatch back whatever you can. You take whatever you can. And that's really the golden rule in prayer. If it doesn't work, you do go back in the first bracha. If you haven't finished the first bracha until Magen Avraham, you do go back. But if you get caught out, so take what you can, whatever's left. Snatch what you can. Once you do that, then you'll be more mechazek. Hopefully it's more than Eiseh Shalom Bimah Mavu Eiseh Shalom Aleinu. Hopefully you woke up Sunday and maybe by Moedim. Whatever you can, take whatever you can. Snatch and take whatever you can. The last point which I'd like to bring out, which is maybe an Eitzah for Kavana, is really there's no time, no room whatsoever on Rosh Hashanah for making value judgments of other people. I mean like this, and we all fall into that trap. But I'd like to say it because I think it's so relevant and so pertinent. You came into shul early on Rosh Hashanah, if you managed to get to shul, whatever it is, and the seat next to you is vacant, and no one's sitting there. And you've been there early in the morning, you say Pesukei Zimba slowly, and it comes to HaMelech, and then your neighbor next to you, say by the women, or wherever the women are, the neighbor next to you suddenly turns up at Shemoneh Esrei. And you turn around and say, oh, ridiculous, disgusting, not like me. I've been here for so long, and how can you walk in for Shemoneh Esrei? And you make a value judgment. Or I suppose you make another vow. A woman turns around and mentions about another woman who, what's she wearing a dress like that for? On Rosh Hashanah, how can you wear such a dress? And you make judgments about people. You look at someone in the corner and someone's davening with great kavon and crying, and you say, who do they think they are? Tzaddik, to daven in such a way. And all these value judgments, unfortunately, pass through our minds, and we scale people, and we measure people. And you can't do that on Rosh Hashanah. You can't do it at any time. But there is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says in Daf Yud Zayin, Ba'asher hu shom, as you are, so Hashem looks at us. And that's a very important concept. In other words, as we are, Hashem measures us. If we are critical of others, then lo aleinu, we might arise criticism against ourselves. I remember reading just recently that the Chaim Moshe Grudzinski, the great Rav in Vilna, just before the war, he was a god lador, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, once was asked, why is it that Hashem created us with a crooked mind? Sometimes you think crooked. You don't think straight. If we have a mind, why doesn't the mind just work straight? Why does it have to work crooked sometimes? And he turned around and said, so that a person can sometimes bend his mind and be don lekaf schus. Such a beautiful point. In other words, you might have to stretch your mind. Okay, so the woman who came late, maybe she has an elderly parent she's been looking after, maybe a sick child, maybe she doesn't feel so well. Maybe the woman who's wearing an outfit which she shouldn't be wearing, maybe her husband bought it for her, and she's making her husband happy. Maybe the person who's crying over the davening really wants a year of success and is trying for all of Chalitzot. You don't know. You can't judge people. It's such an enormous fault, which we sometimes, unfortunately, suffer from. No judging, especially not only on Rosh Hashanah, Ba'asher Hu Shom, because it turns round, lo aleinu. B'midah she'adam moideh, moidehim lo. These are maybe 5 points. The kavana, understanding the words, the pace, the eloquence, the passion, the snatch what you can, and the lack of value judgments. These are points which I hope will help you having kavana. One thing, though, you must realize about the prayer, a new point about Rosh Hashanah, is the type of dalga. What is the level of the prayer which we have on Rosh Hashanah? We never ever daven at this dalga of prayer. It's a very high madrega. We really, all the prayers are really for kvod shamayim. We're asking for Hashem. But 1 minute, if we say it's a Yom Adin, then surely I should be coming with my shopping list. I should be asking if my uncle needs a for Shalema, if my husband needs a Parnosa, if my son needs a Shidduch. All these things which we ask for, all these things, why don't we bring a shopping list on Rosh Hashanah? And yet there's no room for it. Maybe you'll say an Avinu Malkeinu perhaps, but that's not the main body of the prayer. The main body of the prayer of Rosh Hashanah is Kavod Shamayim. Chofetz Chaim gives a wonderful moshul to explain this. A king on his birthday turned round and said to his court, to all the people who were there in front of him, his ministers, it's my birthday today and I grant each one of you a bracha. You can ask me for whatever you want. And there was a buzz around the court and all the ministers turned around and said, oh, what a golden opportunity. And the first one comes forward and he says, Your Majesty, you know, I don't know if you've ever looked down in the car park, but have you ever seen that old jalopy there? I have an old car which really, the king turns around and says, here's a grant for buying a brand new car, a brand new Toyota. And he goes off delighted. Next one comes forward and says, you know, Your Majesty, I work so hard here in the palace. It's time I had a bit of a break. So he says, take 2 weeks off and go to Switzerland and take a break off. And he's delighted. He runs off. And each one comes forward. One asks for home renovations. Then the last one comes forward. And the king says, and yes, what would you like? And there's quiet. And this minister turns around and says, Your Majesty, really, I only have really one request. And that is that you should be the king forever. And everybody is astonished. What a point. And he really meant it. He wasn't just saying it to be flattering or with an ulterior motive. Everybody could see he really meant it. And he explained himself and said, you know, Your Majesty, you've always been so good to me and my family and my people. I want you to carry on like that. The king immediately took hold of him and sat him next to him and took care of him. Tell me, says the Chofetz Chaim, what do you think would happen to his car, to his home renovations? Everything is taken care of by royal command. And that's the nature of the prayer of Rosh Hashanah. It's not with an ulterior motive that I'm asking in order. It's not like that. I really mean it. I mean Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloich. That's the nature of the prayer. The prayer is not said with a motive. one means it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always looks after us in such an incredible way. All of us that we're here today, we survived today, the corona until now, and halavai, we should be well and strong at Me'ad Esrim. But we thank him. He's taken such care of us until now. And we ask just, carry on in being the Melech, Hashem the Melech. And that's the genuine nature of the prayer. And we mean it. Don't worry about the other things. They'll be taken care of. The Chaim Volozhin actually asks, where does this come from? What's the source of this very high level of prayer that Anshei Knesset HaGdola pitched us at such a high level? In reality, it comes from Chana. When Chana asks for a child, the expression which we actually say in the Haftorah on Rosh Hashanah is, Vatispalel al Hashem. Not El Hashem, but Al Hashem. Al Hashem means for and on behalf of Kavod Shomayim. I'm davening for him, for his malchus, that Hashem should be recognized as Melech al kol ha'oret. And that's a very high level. And we don't have a night the rest of the year. The rest of the year we say, Refo'enu, Shema Koleinu, Kadshenu b'mitzvay secha. We ask for our needs. But on Rosh Hashanah, it's a very high level. And that's the nature of our prayer. That's what we're pitched at. We're pitched at this level of prayer. And that's what we mentioned in the last two shiurim. It's all on the basis of Malchus Shamayim. And we explained in the first shiur was on micro level, Yosef in front of the wife of Potiphar, the personal reckoning of the regesh of how much he recognized and appreciated, and that brought to Yashrus, if you remember. And then last week we spoke about a macro scale, that by Yibishu and Melech, Bisaseh for Sheyom, we're bringing the Creator into his creation, that the world should not be a secular world. We're renewing the monarchy, that Hashem is the Melech in the world. And that's the nature on a broader scale, on a macro scale. That's what we explained. Those are the two shiurim which we mentioned until now. But I'd like to add a point from this point, and build this even maybe a little bit further, and maybe even more topical to what we're going through at the moment. All the Gedolim, everybody recognizes, these times that we're going through are the times of Ikdus of the Mashiach, the difficulties which we're experiencing, and the turmoil, and the confusion, Nebuch Lo Aleinu, and the illnesses, it's all part of the birth pangs of the Mashiach. That's clear what we're going through at this point. For example, the Gemara says, in Sota, the Mishnah says that in the times of the Mashiach, Ha'emes tiene deres, the truth will be hidden. You're telling me, the fake news that we hear, what is truthful? What is truthful in the news that we hear? We don't know. Ha'malchus te'hafeich leminus, the malchus, the government, will turn to apikosis. We see that now. We see the apikosis. We see that. Chutzpah yaske. We see tremendous chutzpah going on in the world. All these circumstances and conditions that we learn about in the Mishnah and Sota are all there at the time. We all, Eimanu shele elavinu shabashamayim. And that's what we see now. Who can rely on anything in these times? Who can rely on medicine? Who can rely on the government? Who can rely on the courts? We can't. We can only rely on the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's the situation which we're brought to. Bearing that in mind, I'd like to bring to your attention a beautiful maimer of Reb Chaim Vital, the great Talmud of the Arizal. He explained in the following way. He said, until the time of Ikvas of the Mashiach, the main avodah, the main emphasis on the Limud HaTorah, Talmud Torah keneged Kulam, and for that is the main limb. The Limud is the Mesiras Nefesh for Torah, for mitzvahs, and that's the nature of the avodah in the centuries that we've gone through. But then he said, we now come to the period when Olam Hazeh will move on into the Yemos HaMashiach. At such a time, the main avodah is the avodah of Tefillah. It does not mean that Talmud Torah in any way gets derided. In no way does it mean that. But the emphasis must be on Tefillah. Again, Talmud Torah still remains, the Chashivas of Torah and Limud HaTorah and Kiyum HaMitzvos. But the catalyst which is needed to bring about the Geula is now the catalyst of prayer. And he gives a moshul, that Pinchas talks about it as well, in the beginning of his Sefer Shoyim Tefillah. It's a moshul, but you'll be able to apply it simply yourself. On Rosh Hashanah, supposing a person walks into Shul on Rosh Hashanah, takes a Gemara, and sits and learns the whole day long. He doesn't listen to Shofar, he doesn't really daven, he spends the whole day learning Gemara. Is it worth it? But Talmud Torah keneged kulam. No, because the avoider of the Yom is prayer and Shofar. And therefore, he missed the point. It's true Talmud Torah, but the emphasis at these times, says the Arizal, is to move on from all the enormous Mesiras Nefesh and all the Avoida of the Doiras. Those in Spain, people gave up their lives, and those in Germany and Russia, and all the great, great writers of Torah, Rishonim, Achronim, all the enormous efforts which were made in Torah, it now has to move on. And to move it on from Olam Hazeh into Mos HaMashiach, that's where prayer comes in. Where do we learn this from? Take the first Golus of Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. The great Inui, the great persecution which they suffered, how did it all turn around? Vayizaku, Vayishma Hashem Esna Kosam. He heard their prayer, and then Vayeda Alakim, and then Moshe was sent at the bush. And that's where the Gula began. The Gula began from the catalyst of prayer. You see the same thing in Shushan. What happened here? There was a decree against Klal Yisrael, and Esther gathered, and Mordechai gathered, the Tzumo Alai. Through the Koyach of prayer it moved on. Of course Talmud Torah is primary, but we have to understand the times that we're living in. And the times are the times when prayer, we stand in front of Borei Olam in the time of the corona, what else is there to do? We stand and we pray and we hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will listen to our prayers and move us on. This is the key to the change and the transformation from Olam Hazeh into the times of the Mos HaMashiach. And that's the need. And therefore our prayer on Rosh Hashanah is really crucial. It's a vital part of the Avodah for the welfare of Klal Yisrael, for the welfare of all the world, really. This is the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides what the future will be, when the Mashiach will come in Mitzvah Hashem, how soon he will be here in Mitzvah Hashem. But these changes are all on the Tefillah. Of course Torah and Mitzvahs are crucial, but the catalyst, and we see it in Mitzrayim, and we see it in Shushan, we see this, the Gemara brings down in Nida, that the men of Alexandria, we once brought it down previously, asked Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hananiah, what does a person do to become a chochem? So Rabbi Yehoshua answered them and said to them, well, you have to sit and learn for many hours, not spend too much time in business. So they turned around and said to him, but Rebbe, many people did that and they didn't become chachomim. Yeah, but you have to ask Hashem for it. Ask for Hashem. In other words, one without the other won't work. It's all very well sitting in the room, one has to pray. And all the great success stories in Torah mitzvahs, they rely on having a family, a children, being wise, being rich, whatever it is, it comes from prayer. The prayer is what turns around the situation. And that's what we have to understand when we go into Rosh Hashanah in this year. You need a very vivid imagination to carry you through, that you walk in, when you walk in on Rosh Hashanah, you walk in with great humility, that's Ubachein. One has in mind that I don't come with any great confidence, but I come with great submission and ask for clemency. I use my greatest skill, and the skill is the skill of the pair, that's Imul Afonai Malchias, and that's the power. And these words are very, very powerful prayer, powerful words, the words of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, are very, very powerful. You must be careful to understand the words, find a pace, make sure you articulate and are passionate with the words, avoid value judgments, and if you get caught, snatch what you can, take whatever you can, as much as you can. And the dauga of the prayer is a very high dauga. The dauga of the prayer is highest. We don't ever usually daven like that. Hannah was successful because she asked not just for a child to wheel a pram down the street or play with a baby on a rug. No, she wanted the child to become an Eved Hashem. She was asking for Kavod Shamayim, which is what really we're asking for here, to be an Eved Hashem, to be his servants, V'yosu Cholam Aguda Echos, and that's the power of the prayer on Rosh Hashanah. I wish you all great success. I hope you are successful in your davening Rosh Hashanah, for yourselves, for your families, for all of Klal Yisrael. We should share Simchas and Nachas in the good Gibench year. Kol Tov.
I have a good
job. Good job.